A fifth double hundred for Joe Root, becoming the first person to score a double hundred in his 100th Test match, overtaking a long-standing record from Inzamamul Haq, which was also against India in 2005. England 555 for 8 at the end of day 2 in Chennai. Hello and welcome to Hotspot Delhi. I'm Chetan Narula from Delhi and I'm joined by Daniel Norcross all the way from London. Hello Daniel, your first thoughts on that scintillating double hundred from Joe Root.
Hi Chetan, yeah. Well, it was absolutely masterful, wasn't it? That was the thing. People talk a lot about yesterday that the pitch was really good, it was really flat. So it was no great surprise to see Joe Root in terrific form from Sri Lanka continuing that. But today, you know, this is about, it's a test of endurance and to keep going, both in the heat and to keep concentrating on a pitch that was starting to misbehave a little bit and to keep your focus. You know, it's so easy when you got over 400 to think, well, the job is done. But Root showed a sort of a terrifying hunger for runs and a determination actually just to grind India down. There was no point when he really got loose or looked like he was going to give India chances. That when he got out, it was just an incredible surprise because he missed a straight one, turning the face of the bat. And you know, in sort of in a way, seeing the way he got out reminds you of just what a precarious existence it is being a test match batsman, because you have to concentrate ball after ball. It was a wonderful, wonderful knock. And I wouldn't say he really had any luck. You know, it was just a terrific display of test match batting from a bloke who is in fantastic form.
Like I said yesterday, it's almost like he had this expansive net session in Gaul and he's just come over to Chennai and carried over from there. We've quite a few aspects to talk about today. Of course, scorecard 218 for Root, then you had 82 for Stokes, who was in a bit of a counter-attacking mood. 69 is strike rate when bang, bang, bang. Ollie Pope, 34. Looked okay-ish, not as comfortable. First outing in India. Jos Buttler, 30, bowled up by Ishant, who got 2 wickets in 2. Out of nowhere, those 2 wickets out of 2. Quite a few things. First of all, there's the pitch discussion. Obviously, Joe Root batted superbly against the spinners. Just carried on from yesterday. And from what I saw, you know, he talked about drinking a lot of fluids, eating well, resting up well, because he knew that if England needed to bat deep, he had to hold one end together. And he batted, 2.5 more sessions today. And England dominated while he was there before a flurry of wickets in the final session. What do you make of the pitch, Daniel? Because after India-Australia, I'm not liking this pitch. Because there's, you know, the thing about India-Australia was that it was such enthralling cricket. Because the equation between bat and ball was so good. Even the third string Indian attack was able to cause trouble for the Australian batting lineup in their home conditions. Why? Because the balance between bat and ball was there. I don't think we've seen that balance in the first 2 days in Chennai, which is fine because usually Indian pitchers are like this. For the first 2.5 days, it's the Indian batsmen who really cream the bowling. But what you want to see is a bit more pace in the pitch. This pitch will break up. There's already, you know, dust coming off when the ball is landing in certain areas. There were a couple of deliveries which reared up at Ben Stokes. This will break up. The only issue for me is, will the pace quicken off the pitch? Will the spin bowlers gain from it? Because if that doesn't happen, England, however strong they might be right now at 500 plus, 550 plus, in fact, they will struggle to get India out.
Oh, they really will struggle to get them out if they're absolutely right, if there isn't any pace in it. I thought what was interesting was that the spin bowlers who bowled into that pitch a bit harder, we saw the bounce came from the likes of Washington Sundar. Now, he didn't bowl awfully well, awfully penetratively. I mean, he did look like what he is, which is an off-spinning all-rounder. But using his height and bowling into the pitch, he just got a little bit more rear, a bit more bounce off the pitch. And I think it's a portent of things to come. You know, I think that the two most significant bowlers for England are going to be Stokes with his reverse swing later on, and cutters, exactly. And actually, Joe Root could come into his own because he bowls with a sort of a more round arm and into the pitch.
Yeah.
And when we saw people bowling into the pitch, it just did more. You felt with Nadeem, perhaps, that he was kind of placing the ball. And when that happened, it allowed Root to get right into the back foot, Everything was played with soft hands into the onside, pick up an easy single, rotate, strike. Now, what's got to happen is that, as you say, you've got to be able to see some, it's movement up and down that's going to make the difference. I was interested that the pitch started to break up a little earlier than I thought it was going to. We saw some puffs of dust, actually, in the first session today.
And
that's why I think that, you know, Root's innings is a truly tremendous one, because his judgment of length and the fact he got so far forward and so far back meant that balls that might actually have been a little bit more dangerous and actually were causing problems for the likes of Ollie Pope later on and Joss Butler, neither of whom could find any great fluency, were handled by Root pretty comfortably. He was able, as I say, to keep turning over strike. Another interesting aspect, you mentioned Ishant Sharma today. I mean, what a bowler he's become. I've followed, obviously, how Indian fans have pilloried Ishant Sharma in the early part of his career. There was a sort of collective groan and sigh when he was picked. And when in his last 19 test matches, he's picked up 75 wickets at an average of 19. He's one wicket shy of 300, you know. And I think now that the Indian public have taken to him, they've understood the great promise that the beanpole kid I saw for the first time on a tour in India, when would that have been? I mean, 10 years ago, 11 years ago, I think 2010. He showed great promise at that point, but now he's really filled out. And attacking the stumps was key. I mean, you'll know this better than anyone, having watched so much cricket in India. Bowl it straight, force the batsman to play. That's when the mistakes come. That's how Root was out, for heaven's sake. That's how Ishant got those two wickets laid on of Butler and then Archer, who was so late on the ball. I think he was still walking out to bat when that ball hit his off stump. That might be the template for England seamers. I mean, I'm not sure if it's a Jimmy Anderson pitch. I think Anderson will be difficult to get away, but I think, you know, Stokes, and to a degree, Archer has a high arm.
Yeah,
a high arm might be important on this, because that just makes it difficult for the batsman to judge the bounce, whether it's going to come up high or whether it's going to keep low.
Yeah, fair point about that straight bowling about from the pacers. And even Bumrah got those two wickets with some straight bowling. Those were two very straight Yorkers. He's great at that particular art form, you know, just bowling Yorkers, surprising batsmen. I mean, Dom Sibley was batting all day. And then he gets a quick Yorker in and he was surprised. How can you bowl that at me? You're not supposed to bowl Yorkers at me in Test cricket. No, come on, Jasprit. Come on, what are you doing? But that doesn't work like that. But yeah, Ishant Sharma kept on attacking the stumps. And even Ben Stokes mentioned, you know, it's a credit to both Ishant and Bumrah, they just kept bowling in and in and in. 27 overs across 2 days for Ishant, 31 for Bumrah across 2 days. Bulk of the bowling, though, came from Ashwin and Nadeem, 50 and 44 overs respectively. You mentioned that puff of dust in the morning session. Of course, there were a couple instances of that, another couple of instances in the second session when Ben Stokes decided, oh, this is going to start turning crazy now, so I should really attack. And then he gave his wicket away. But we haven't seen the pitch break up as much, have we? I mean, the odd puff of dust is still there, but the mid area of the pitch where you're pitching the most of the deliveries, that's going to be interesting. The other thought for me is Jack Leach. I mean, he himself has said that he doesn't come over the wicket too much. He bowls round the wicket into the right-handed batsman. Would he be tempted to bowl over the wicket from that rough which is developing at one end, which would be outside the leg stump of the right-handed batsman? India don't have too many left-handed batsmen, only Rishabh Pant, and he's way down at number six. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, two question marks here as we will go into day three. Has the pitch broken up enough? And will the pace quicken up enough before or for the English spinners to use it well enough?
I don't know. It's quite a recherche pitch, isn't it? It reminds me of when England used to go to India back in the early 80s now. I don't know if any of our listeners could remember, but, you know, back
in 1981, I can't remember. I was a kid. I can't remember.
Well, it's seared onto my brain, I'm afraid. India won the first test, and then there were five draws on pitches that just, they didn't break up enough, and they just were sort of slow and low. Now, The thing is that, you know, England have scored their second highest total in India. They've played on an awful lot of pitches. They've scored an awful lot of runs. Now, either that means that this pitch is especially docile, which it might be, but it would mean it was, you know, quite epoch-makingly docile.
Yeah.
Or England's batters batted very well, which they did. I mean, Root did, and Stokes especially. But I think also, you know, the Indians will be disappointed at certain aspects of their cricket.
Yeah,
they got a little bit tired and sloppy in the field. And also, I think they've got a problem with Nadeem and with Sundar. You know, are they regretting not having picked Kuldeep? I mean, I know he's not been in great form, but there just needed to be something a bit different. There was a predictability to the spin attack. And, you know, look, when you lose a toss on a docile pitch, it's easy to pick holes in a bowling side. But I don't know. I just felt that they didn't quite ask enough questions. They weren't quite chirpy enough. They didn't kind of provide enough pressure. And there were, look, I mean, we saw one of the most astounding drops today. I half wondered if Rohit Sharma, when he dropped Dom Bess at mid-wicket today, there were six overs left in the day's play. And part of what went through my head was,
he doesn't want to bat today. Everybody on Twitter was thinking that Rohit Sharma doesn't want to bat. And you know what? He was just being so playful about that drop. He was just, you know, gesticulating and clapping towards R. Sridhar, who's the Indian fielding coach, who's copped so much flack for India's dropped catchers that, okay, you know what? Let me celebrate you. It was my fault, not your fault. What are you celebrating? You just dropped the simplest of chances. What are you celebrating? What are you being so happy about? It's just that nobody can ask that question, really. And I remember Mark Butcher on commentary, on television commentary, he was just saying, what are you so happy about? Hey, Mark, this is Indian cricket. These are superstars. This is how they react. I mean, nobody can really question them. R. Sridhar, he had to make a statement, you know, I can only coach them if they drop catches. How is it my fault? Which is, I mean, in a way, it's ridiculous, but also true. Yes, it's not your fault that they are dropping catches. You're coaching them, but then can a marketing manager or sales manager say, you know what, I've set them the targets. They are not completing the sales target. How is it my fault? Hey, it is your fault. In a corporate world, you would get fired, you know? So you can't really say, I'm coaching them and they're dropping catches. It is somewhere your fault. No mistake there. But it's also kind of funny.
Yes, it was. It was a bit of levity in what has been a very difficult day for India. But I think part of it is that the standards that we set for Indian fielding have gone through the roof. You know,
yeah.
I mean, the IPL has completely transformed the way India are in the field, and also Virat Kohli has. I think you know, he demands really high standards of physical fitness and athleticism in the field, and for the most part, he gets them. It's just that unfortunately, the three most notable bits of fielding today, well, one went to Chateshwar Pujara, who very nearly dropped a simple catch, but clung onto it.
Thankfully.
Stomach, basically.
Yeah.
And then the elder statesman Rohit dropping that terrible goober. And poor old Ishant Sharma lumbering around the boundary and, you know, getting to the ball and then it hitting in the boundary. I mean, look, those are the three least nimble people in the Indian side.
Yeah.
So it's easy to focus on those three
and,
you know, forget the fact that actually they've still got Rahane, Kohli, you know, Shubman Gill. These are all excellent athletes who are all performing perfectly well in the field. It's just on a day of disappointment, speaking as an English cricket fan who's witnessed many days of disappointment in India, the first thing we do is try to apportion blame and find out, you know, what went wrong. I think sometimes you've got to take a step back and say, well, we were the victim of a really good innings and we were the victim of losing the toss on a very, very good surface to bat on. And so everything has gone England's way. In a four-test series, we're 2 days in.
Yeah.
There's plenty more days for things to turn around. Yeah.
Yeah. And which brings us to the final point in today's short podcast. 555 for 8. I tweeted at one point, highest score for England on the 2016 tour was 537 at Rajkot. And that was, if you can believe me, that was an even worse pitch. I mean, when I say if you can, I'm talking about our listeners, because you probably saw that game and you were there at the game. And it was a worse pitch than this. It was actually a highway. It was actually a road. This one, there's still dust coming off and there's still some turn there. It might turn a bit of days 4 and 5, if not day 3. Ben Stokes, after the day's play, comes out and says, we're not going to declare overnight. No way England were going to declare at 537 or less than that. But they seem to keep on batting. I mean, you would think they have enough, because at some point, it is also going to be about time, because especially if the pitch doesn't break up or the pace of spin, I'm not talking about the I'm not talking about the pace bowlers at all. Maybe River Swing will come into play. Maybe Anderson will take a fiver and I'll look stupid. But it's still about spin bowling, right? Most of the overs will be thrown in by Jack Leach and Dom Bess, or maybe even Joe Root, depending on how fit he's feeling after batting for so long. But if the pace of spin doesn't pick up from here, and if the pitch doesn't break up further or becomes too rough to bat on, I somehow don't see England picking up 20 Indian wickets in less than 3 days. If they bat for an hour tomorrow, that's less than 3 days they have to bowl India out twice.
Well, I think England were always going to have that problem if they bat first. I mean, that was always going to be part of it. Then the question is, how are they seeing this match and in what context? And I think they see it in the wider context of all four games.
Yeah.
To them, yeah, this is a game. This is a standalone game that they want to win. But they've come off the back of a series in Sri Lanka where their seamers took all 10 wickets in the first innings in Gaul. I mean, all 10 wickets. Then their spinners took all 10 wickets in the second innings. So they've got a lot of faith that their seamers will be able to do a job in the first innings. And then they're relying on the pitch having broken up sufficiently to bring their spinners right into play. Now, another part of it is that if they come out of this game with a draw, they won't say this publicly, I'm sure, but if they come out of this game with a draw, knowing there's a day-night match in two test matches, and knowing that they've put a lot of overs into the legs of Jasprit Bumrah, Ishant Sharma, both of whom in different ways have had physical problems before, have had injury problems. Ashwin, who has bowled 50-odd overs, and we know his back can go every now and then.
Yeah.
A test series is attritional.
Yeah.
Four test matches that are going to be played in 5 weeks.
Yeah.
I think England really are just saying they're going to set their stall out. They're going to make it as physically demanding for India as possible.
Yeah.
And see where the game takes them, because pressure can do horrible things.
Absolutely, If
you can't win a game when you go out to bat, if you know you can't really win the game,
don't lose.
It becomes a mountain to climb for three days, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And from an English perspective, they went to bat and to make sure that they don't lose. And like you mentioned, from an Indian perspective, it's all about going out to bat and knowing that, India can't win from here, but stranger things have happened.
Well 700.
700. They've done 700 before, but they'll probably need 800 this time around, and then England batting on the final day.
It's not impossible. It's not impossible. 700 by lunch, and then England have got about two sessions on a turner.
You never know. And then Shahbaz Nadeem and Ashwin and Washington Sundar coming into their own. But hey, it's unlikely if this will happen, but you can dream, or at least Indian fans can dream. But a lot of ifs and buts on day three. For all you know, Ben Stokes might have been throwing a curveball at the Indian team management. And the first thing England do tomorrow morning is declare and put on James Anderson and Jofra Archer with that new SG cherry. Well, that's it from us on Hotspot Daily. Thanks for joining us. And I hope you do tune in tomorrow. This is me, Chetan Arula, and Daniel Norcross signing off.